I've been in therapy for a long time, but I've had to deal with all my stuff because I've never, all my, just talking about sex or like, why don't I want to do this? Or why do I want to do that? Or I didn't have names for or a vocabulary for because nobody spoke to me about it.
Ladies and gentlemen, Tika Sumpter. Welcome.
Yeah. For Tika Sumpter.
Welcome.
Tika. Is that short Sumpter. For like Martika or something like that?
Absolutely not. It's short for Euphemia Latik Sumpter.
When you said you were a late bloomer, in a parent's mind, that's a success story.
It's a success story, but for me, it's not. Just because you're not speaking about it doesn't mean the feelings and the things are not happening. You start feeling shame. Like, yes. I'm doing something wrong. This isn't a good part of me. For me, as an adult, I felt very mute in that way. Didn't know what I liked. I didn't even know how to be intimate and talking. I remember even having arguments and being quiet and, you know, my exes being like, you don't even say anything. Like, I'll be like, I'll try to do better. I don't even know how to function. So I feel like when you're not giving your children the words to function, mm-hmm. how do you expect them to and be empowered in all these words that we say as adults? How do you expect that same person to be that person when they yes. grow up?
Are you goals for your daughter? Do you want tea?
Sure.
Are you a chai person?
I do chai, sure.
But then if you're not a chai person,
look, if it's not good, I'll be like,
you're gonna find it very sweet.
Just do your thing.
Okay, I'll do both.
I'm gonna trust you.
I'm gonna do both. Okay, so what is the
topic?
Yes.
Okay, so I was thinking about talking about how important it is to engage our children in talking about emotional intimacy.
I believe it's magic.
When you kind of dismiss that as a child, you don't know how to be as an adult.
Yes.
And I think in my own experience, I felt like a mute for so long. And for me, teaching my daughter what things are actually called, right? Because I grew up in church. And I grew up like, you don't talk about it, you feel it, you don't talk about it. And so you're just like, you're growing up kind of like tight all the time because you're like, I don't even know what I'm feeling. So how can you even express it to a partner, right? How can you express those things to a partner when you don't even know what it is?
Yes.
I think that's important to talk about.
I think it's a great topic.
Yeah,
and it ties in with the podcast that you have.
Yes.
And I think that's perfect.
Okay, cool.
This episode of Lovers is presented by Bumble. Date your way on Bumble.
We were supposed to talk before, mm-hmm. but then the fires happened.
Yeah.
What a beautiful thing that you did.
Yeah.
And also maybe have so many questions for like, why do you still have this baby stuff? I'm like, is Tika a hoarder? Because
am I? I think I'm.
Do you know what it is? Because with my kids, as soon as they grow out of something, I'm like handing it off. Because I'm like, more space. But
I want to be like you.
All these amazing, beautiful things that you gifted. That was so beautiful.
Yeah, I didn't realize how much stuff I had. I honestly thought we were gonna have another baby, and we tried for one and it didn't work out. And you know, I just kind of kept holding on to this stuff. And then I was like, this is the time. This is the time where other people need it. And I like my stuff. When I buy stuff, I buy good things.
Yes, you do.
And I love it. And I just thought, I'm gonna have another kid. And then when this happened, I said, you know what? It's time to let go because somebody else needs it. And my husband, Nick, kept bringing down buckets and buckets. We had like over 35 buckets of stuff that I kept for her. But I was a little ashamed of myself, to be honest, because I was like, why did I buy all these shoes? Why did I think she needed all this stuff? But I was grateful that I had the things to give to other people. And to honestly, I love the way I packed it. It wasn't like one of those like, take it. No, I like giving and making people feel special.
So beautiful.
Thank
and
you.
Then knowing too that this was not just giving away, it was also letting go.
Letting go.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was letting go and being okay with where we are in our lives. And I love my daughter and that's my one and done, and you know, she
one is fun.
One is fun. One is fun, and she was a joyful surprise, and my husband and I were a little early in our relationship, and it was like, we're doing this, and we got Ella, and I feel super grateful.
And you are doing this differently. You set an yeah. intention to do parenting differently.
Yes. I want to be present with my child, and because I'm one of seven. Like, I knew the capacity wasn't always there. I sometimes don't remember my mom saying, I love you. You know what I mean? Like, I don't remember those things. And so I want to look in my daughter's eyes and let her know, you know, I'll tell her I love her, and she'll say, I love you too. And then I usually say, that's impossible. Now she makes fun of me. I'm like, I love you. She's like, I love you too. And then she goes, that's impossible. You know? So, but like that kind of like, I just want a relationship with my child, and I want to be open with her. You know, she does ask questions and she's curious. And that came to, we created this podcast called Adventures of Curiosity Cove for kids. And it's all original stories, just about like coming of age for kids, you know, and this like little third grader, that's one of the series. And then the rest is all based on like emotional intelligence and fun stories that you can listen to in the car, or if you just need a moment with your tea and be like, turn this on, let them play. Yeah. And I have a book coming out in April called I Got It From My Mama. And I'm really excited about it because it's this idea of repair and also like apologizing.
Yes.
Like parents didn't apologize. This was like, what? Even my mom today, she's like, double down. Like, I don't need to apologize. You know, I'm like, it's like, okay. But like,
my parents just deny my reality.
Yeah.
They're like, that didn't happen. That never happened.
What are you talking about?
You have a terrible memory.
But to me, I think you're teaching your kid to take responsibility. It's like if you don't grow up in that environment, I mean, a kid who doesn't talk about their emotions is going to be an adult who doesn't talk about their emotions. I think you do mirror behavior. You mirror what's in your household constantly. You learn. And so in my household, like, we never spoke about sex. We never spoke about anything age appropriate. It was just like, but like, it wasn't like things weren't happening. Things were happening. And whether it was people having sex as a teenager or people, you know,
having questions
and feelings. And I also feel like a lot of unfortunate things happen in families. Yes. Because people don't talk about it. You think, you don't need to, if you don't talk about it, it's not happening. The problem is it's happening. And the problem is it's happened. And just from experience, I know that. And it can be shameful. Like so I'm trying to change that story, right? In my family's life, I feel like if I talk to Ella in an age appropriate way, I think the problem with sex, like people are like sex education or sex, it's like, we're not talking about all the like details of adults. It's literally the simplified version of things. In the beginning at five, four or five years old, I started talking to Ella about what this part is called, like the vulva, the vagina. And she's like, oh, I have to go to the bathroom. Or did you wash your vagina? Did you wash your, you know, she knows the names of things, you know, her petals are growing now, you know, things like that. I'm like, and it makes her more confident knowing. And even if like our young boys and girls, like when they like, they're just like la-di-da touching themselves. And usually you're like, shut, don't touch yourself. Don't you dare touch yourself. You know, and you're like, that's not what we do in public, you know. And I feel like you scare kids and like, wait, what? This is all new. I don't even know what's going on. I just know that like I'm doing that. And if you don't explain to your kid in a simplified way, or if you just kind of like shame them, you start feeling shame. Like,
yes.
I'm doing something wrong. This isn't a good part of me. And I think for me as an adult, I felt very mute in that way. Didn't know what I liked. Didn't know I didn't even know how to be intimate in talking like to somebody. Like, just simply knowing the things that you want and the things, how to communicate with love. And I remember even having arguments and being quiet and, you know, my exes being like, you don't even say anything. Like, I'll be like, I'll try to do better. That's literally what I would say to try to like make everything okay. Like, okay, yeah. And agree, just be agreeable. Cause you're just like, I don't even know how to function. So I feel like when you're not giving your children the words to function, mm-hmm. How do you expect them to be empowered in all these words that we say as adults? How do you expect that same person to be that person when they grow up? You know what I mean?
You know, that hits me so hard because I have two wild kids.
Yeah.
That we just let kids be kids.
Yeah.
And I don't expect my kids to be adults
yeah.
in adult environments. Mm. I expect my kids to be kids in adult environments.
Yeah.
And this is not pleasurable for many people.
Yeah.
This is not a welcome style of parenting.
Yeah.
Like, I've had people in my family, like, say that my kids are feral, which just means...
They're the wild crap.
You just might see them pop out from the woods later on today. But you train them as a kid to be like, be quiet. Suppress yourself.
Yes.
Your instincts are not good. Like, do not talk back.
Yes.
And then that's a good kid.
Right.
But it's the low-functioning adult.
Exactly. And I think what happens is kids are so, I know people say this, but they're so smart. They're so smart because I remember saying to, even this is like a simple thing. I remember saying to Ella, because we always say, I'm not your friend. You know, she's like, you can be both, mom. It's okay. And I was like, I could be both. Like, there's no boundary of like, they're going to somehow... She knows boundaries of motherhood. She knows when I look at her and I'm like, girl, she's like, okay. You know, but she also, I want her to come to me with her anything that's happening at school, anything that's happening with a person, I want her to be able to come to me. That is a friend. That is somebody, a friend is just somebody you trust.
Yes.
And I realize I can be your friend and I can be your mom.
She asked you about where babies came from.
Yeah.
My kids already ask and my answer is nuts. So I'm curious to know what your answer is.
Yeah, and my answer is and obviously age appropriate, however you want to explain it. We decided to be scientific about it. We're like, dad has a sperm, mom has an egg, you know, and they get together and they basically fertilize, they grow a baby. And this baby has to grow in a very special place called the canal. And in that canal, the baby grows for 9 months. And then, in the uterus, the baby grows for 9 months and then comes out of the canal. And then a baby appears, and that's that. And then she's like, oh.
But mom, how did the sperm and the egg get put together? Right.
And I'm like, a party. A party happens. They're like dancing together. I'm like, again, age appropriate, right. You know? And so she's like, but that was enough for her. She was like, oh, okay. You know, it wasn't like some gory details of like, and then this happened, girl. You know, it's like, no, basics, like the very basics is going to be okay for them. And I think we're so scared because we're scared of ourselves. We're so scared to talk about it with them because we didn't grow up like that. And so it's like, well, some people did, but I don't know a lot of people who did. And it's like, it's being afraid that you're also going to not have the answers to what else are they going to ask, you know?
Yes.
How far is this going to go, right? But sometimes they'll surprise you, and it's pretty miraculous. The way they're very smart, but they're also like, you give them a real answer, and they're like, oh, okay, cool. Where are my Legos? You know, and then that's over.
That's so interesting because, yeah, my daughter asked me the other day about, you know, how do you make a baby? And then I was like, well, mom and dad put their love together.
That's good.
But I remember being in the fourth grade and they brought in this like expert sex ed teacher who we asked that straightforward question. But by fourth grade, we know what the answer is.
You know what it
is.
Yeah.
So this is just to see like, okay, can we actually talk to you?
Yeah.
And she was like, it's when a man and a woman hug each other very tightly. I'm like, did I just give her that answer? My sister, when her kids asked when she was young, she was like, there's a mystical man in the sky. Why are we repeating this mistake? So I'm actually curious. I'm like, what would happen if I explained? Because they know body parts. I mean, all of it is just so interesting because this is what I do for a living. So I'm such an interesting litmus test as I watch myself go through the discomfort.
Yes.
And then having my partner who is sex positive also watching him go through the discomfort because we have two daughters. And so we taught them vulva and vagina and nipples. But then when it came to learning about the penis because they were curious, he's like, don't mention that word. It's like, what? So everybody's got a vulva, but we're, you know, but that's it's challenging when you're actually faced with these things.
And I feel like the more you make it normal, it's not.
Because
like Ella makes fun. She's like, she's like the pinus, you know, she knows it's called. I'm like, what is it called though? She's like a penis. She's like, but mom, dad, your penis, like, you know, she like makes it fun of it. And like, because she can't take a shower with him anymore, like all those things. And she's like, oh, mom has a vulva, dad has a penis. Okay. And then he does our penis, you know,
so, respectfully.
Yeah, respectfully. And so it's nothing to her now. She's just like, whatever. But she is interested in like, what I've learned is whether you acknowledge it or not, kids are especially girls, because they have the same body parts as you, they're just interested in, like, Ella's like, Mom, your nipples are, like, they're, you need something over that. Your nipples are just pointing out. And she'll be like, just stare at them, like, you know? Or she'll be like, Mom, that's hair. Like, you need to shave that, right?
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, it's hair. You're going to have hair. It's good. She's like, okay. She's like, wow. I'm like, girl, okay, calm down.
And they're so observant, too. I got to show you, too, because there's this thing. They're, like, called, like, bomb buds or something.
Uh-huh.
But so it, like, gives me back, like, the vavoom. But it's basically like a boob. It's like a
like a boob job without the boob job.
Yes.
Yeah.
But it's like an insert. So.
Well, they look great.
The other day, my daughter was, like, looking at my chest, and she was, like, just, like.
Yes. Yeah.
Because she's confused, because she's, like, this isn't supposed to be here.
Yeah.
And then I'm thinking, I'm, like, is this appropriate touch or inappropriate touch? And
I know.
We have a thing in our house, too, of, like, what's appropriate at home with your family.
Yeah.
What's appropriate
outside.
In your room.
Yeah.
And what's appropriate outside. But then, yeah, you're just trying to gauge the curiosity versus.
Without,
like,
it being. I'm sorry. I'm going down the canal. It's okay.
There was actually a point, too. You know that podcast where that.
Sorry, love.
Where the girl's wig falls.
I was like, this is really weird. I'm like, hey, Mom, I'm coming.
This episode is sponsored by Bumble. Celebrate what you bring to the table and date your way on Bumble. Now, in an episode coming up, we talked to Deepika, and she said one of the most powerful things for her was embracing exactly who she is. And she was like, look, I'm not going to be able to make dinner, but I'll make sure dinner is there. And that's where I'm at right now, too. And celebrating what you bring to the table also means inviting people who you know you're going to have a joyful time with. And that is why it's so amazing that Bumble now allows you to filter not only by location, not only by sexual preference, but also by people who have the same dating intentions as you and the same interests. So why not date who you want to date the way that you like to date? And if you're ready to do those things, I suggest that you go on Bumble. And for me, I'm gonna suggest that I heat these things up. Which actually, when you're talking about age appropriate behavior, it's like making me think because, is it age appropriate or interest appropriate? I did a course when I was getting certified as a sexologist that was year by year.
Yes.
What is normal sexual behavior?
Yeah.
And normal just means like within the range of like recorded possibilities.
Yes.
So it was so affirming to me because I was a very sexual kid.
Mm.
I didn't suffer from sexual assault or I don't feel like it was tied up in trauma in any capacity. I think it was just my interest.
Yeah.
And again, I think age appropriate is accurate because it wasn't like,
yeah,
it was interest. It was more like, what is this?
What is this?
What's going on?
Why does that feel good?
Right, yeah.
What is that?
What's that on your body?
Yeah.
What if my Barbies did this?
Yeah.
it was like that.
Yeah.
It was just like matter of fact.
Yes.
And growing up, I was like called lewd all the time.
You weren't streaking. Lewd? Well, Jesus. You were like, what, 10?
Like less than.
Oh my God. Did that affect you?
Of course, yeah. I think it did because you just realize that this part of me makes authorities feel disappointed in me. It makes me bad.
Shameful.
When I became a teen and I had the urge, I had the interest plus the urges, I was like, oh, this is a secret.
Yes.
So I was like, what can I get that's like not going to be like on my parents' radar? So just like lots of, like you talked about Cold Winter Ever on the
Breakfast Club.
The Breakfast Club.
On the Breakfast Television.
You talked about that book. Yep. That book was like a sex ed manual for me.
That's why education is so important because I'm like, if you don't know the things you like, you'll act like, oh, you know, because you'll see, oh, this is what I've seen on TV and I'm supposed to swing from the chandeliers and yell and scream and nothing actually is happening, but I got to make sure he thinks it's happening.
Right.
So you don't speak.
Or else I'm admitting that I'm broken.
I'm broken. I should be enjoying all of this and swinging from the chandelier. I don't even know, like, what is happening because nobody told me. What happens?
Yes.
You know what I mean? And so.
And then I think even too, like the, like, speak up for what you want. But you ever try to have a conversation with like a Wi-Fi repair person?
Right.
You're just like, fix the internet. Yeah. They're like, take this code, take the modem. And you're like, the modem. Modem. I don't
go
know.
Go read the number. What's
the,
what? Yeah. What is the code behind? You're like, what? This is long. What do you mean?
Yeah. There's 70,000 different numbers back
yes.
here.
Yes.
But that's the thing is that you can't advocate for yourself or speak up for what you want if you don't have the language.
The
if
language.
You don't have the knowledge, which is why I love the podcast too, because you're giving kids the language.
Yeah.
Because you might, there's a difference between tacit knowledge and functional knowledge. And tacit is where like, okay, I kind of intuitively know,
yeah.
but I have no idea how to say that to you.
Yeah. I think, you know, I mean, obviously we don't talk about sex on the kid, it's a kid's
yes.
podcast, but it's giving them vocabulary for the things that they're interested in, whether it's I'm afraid of something, like being able to name the things that you're
yes.
afraid of and you're scared of and that you don't want to talk about or you're running away from all the time and saying, wait a second, if I like acknowledge something, it makes it less scary. And when they become get into relationships with whoever they get into a relationship with, our kids, they need to be able to say, that hurt my feelings. I'm not fine. And so hopefully I'm giving them words to be able to express themselves and be more confident.
Mm-hmm. I think it's such a beautiful thing too, because it's also acknowledging that it is once you face your fears, you get more information about it, you get more language to describe it, all of a sudden this massive dragon becomes a little bit smaller.
Yes.
It yes. doesn't necessarily go away.
No, it doesn't go away. It doesn't go away. And you honestly just are, it's there. You befriend it kind of. You're like, that's the thing in my life that I've put in a corner for so long that it grew so big that because I didn't acknowledge it, it's one of those things like you ever avoid something that you don't want to do, like you don't want to pay a bill, right? And you're like, I'm just going to avoid that for a very long time. And then stuff gets tacked on the bill, keeps getting bigger because you're not acknowledging what's the problem. Maybe you don't know how to budget. Maybe you've never been taught to be financially responsible, right? Until you face that, that thing is not going away. And then you face it, you're like, oh, it wasn't that bad. I just needed to have the tools to figure it out. And so I think what we're all trying to do is give people tools, use those tools ourselves, and constantly learn how to be better humans.
I think a lot of parenting fears of exposure and education comes from the right to say, well, at least it didn't come from me, right? I think even when it comes to like sex, for example, well, you didn't get that from me. You didn't get that from home. So if you have these thoughts or if you have an action or
right.
it didn't come from here, I think that even applies to like mental health. Like if we don't talk about anxiety, if we don't talk about those feelings, like, well, you didn't get those ideas from me. And sometimes there's a fear that if I tell you what something is, then you're going to go out.
Go do it.
Yeah.
When really it probably is a deterrent from you actually going, because you're like, oh, I know what it is. It's not this secret anymore. You know, like I remember growing up in high school, a lot of the girls were getting pregnant and I was a late bloomer. Like I was not sexually active in school in that way. And so because one, I was afraid. I know what would have helped me in a lot of aspects of my life and would have, I've had to like, you know, I've been in therapy for a long time, but I've had to deal with all my stuff because I've never, all my, you know, sex, just talking about sex or like, why don't I want to do this? Or why do I want to do that? Or why don't I have this feeling? Or, you know, just all the things I didn't have names for or vocabulary for because nobody spoke to me about it. Just because you're not speaking about it doesn't mean the feelings and the things are not happening.
That's exactly what I actually was just, when you said you were a late bloomer, in a parent's mind, that's a success story.
It's a success story, but for me, it's not. And it's not about the sex, actually. It's about all of the other feelings that are attached to it because this doesn't mean feelings and sensations aren't happening. It just means I don't even have the words to understand what my own body is doing. I don't even have the words and understanding to even if I am interested in someone, to say, I like that, or I want that. Can we try this? Or let's just lay here. Like intimacy is also just speak, it could be just close talking, hugging, holding hands. Like those are intimate things as well. And because I didn't even know a lot of the things, and I did it, I held hands, I da-da-da-da, but in my mind, sex was this otherworldly thing of like, oh, I gotta be dancing on a table. I gotta swing from the chandelier. I gotta be doing, I gotta wear this. I got, like, I have all this, like, old, I just threw it away. But I had this old lingerie from back in the day. My husband's like, what? Are you gonna
look at you throwing things away?
Yeah. Progress. But no, this one, my husband's like, you never wore this for me. And I'm like, I was like, that's the day when I was like, not even my real self. You know what I mean? Mm. Because I thought that's what the expectation was. That is what it is. That's what I thought it was. And I'm like, no, you'll get way more from me now and actually orgasm than before. Because I'm like, girl, somebody was screaming, but nothing was happening. So I just, you know, just that whole thing. That's, I know I keep saying it, but like, again, just because you're not talking about it does not mean thoughts aren't coming, or even questions, just questions. It's not going, and you don't even have to delve into a deep, deep dive of it. I think what you should do with what you did, what you talked about with your program that you went through for the age appropriate stuff, you should do a pamphlet.
Yeah.
For parents. Mm-hmm. Just like simple breakdown of like, yeah, age. What can I say here? Here's what's normal, whatever, right? For this age, this age. And then what can I say when my child asks this? Because not everybody has the answers. I don't know. I just think that would be super helpful for a lot of parents.
Yeah. I actually remember, because I mean, it talks about at age 5, how like self-pleasuring can start. You may, yep, not call it masturbation, but you're, yep, just touching an area that you're purposely, intentionally, yeah, touching because it feels good.
Yeah. And it's not like how adults are like, you know, let me go in the dark room and
just candle, no, watch a video. Yeah.
No, they'll just be in front of you just being like, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I went to school today and you're like, you gonna do that in front of me?
Yeah.
You know, you're like, I know that feels good, but that's private. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, whatever.
This is your body.
This
you
is
can touch
your body.
It however you want. But at those kinds of touch, you just do.
You do
alone.
On your alone. And it's not this like sexual, like, you know, it's,
yeah,
I think we're thinking of in an adult version of it, and it's not that. Because even when they're doing it, you're just like, they're just like nonchalant, like, can you give me some carrots? You're like, you know, you're like, girl. In your mind, you're like, girl.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Exactly what
And
we're
I'm just glad
about.
I'm softer about it. Like, I'm not like
afraid and
I'm
terrified.
Not afraid. I'm, yes, not afraid. And I, at first, you're just like, it's a little jarring. You're like, they're just kind of like, and then they don't do, I mean, after a while, like with 8, she doesn't do it anymore. It's just, but if I was to be like, shame, shame, you know, my daughter would probably be like, you know what I mean? Being in her room right now, being like, yeah, I never got to do it. You know, and you're like, I don't know where she would be, but right. I'm just glad I didn't shame her.
Yes.
Yeah. And look, everybody's going to, it's not going to be everybody's thing. I get it. But I'm just saying, coming from a very religious household myself, and it wasn't on purpose that my mom didn't talk about it. Her mom didn't talk about it. Her grandma, like, that is just something you don't talk about in, yes, our households. And just coming from that space, I know that it was not helpful.
Right.
Yeah.
It didn't get you closer. Because then you have to ask yourself as a parent, what is the goal?
What is the goal?
Because the goal might be to delay. Because I can't tell you how many parents I talk to whose kids are 15, and then they hear what I do for a living, and then they're like, but my kid, they haven't even thought about that.
Girl, no, but, with their friends they have.
Right, exactly. But it depends on what that parent's goal is.
Yes.
If that parent's goal is to delay, and also they think of curiosity as a pathway to action.
Yes.
I went to this like video convention years ago, and there was, you know, it was like for YouTube.
Yeah.
There was a bunch of dads wearing this shirt that said dad, and then it was like dads against dating. Like that was the acronym.
Mm.
Like, and a bunch of them were wearing it.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want my daughter dating. And then you're like, is that the goal?
Right.
So then let me ask you, because I think everybody can define that for themselves. What is the goal for you?
The goal is to have a daughter who is able to be confident in what she says, not only mean what she says when she says it, but understands her own actions, understands her own feelings, understands her own, whether that's emotional, whether that's physical. I want her to be confident in any situation she's in to not only call a thing, but understand what that thing actually is and to have agency over her own self and to say, Mom, I was in this situation. I didn't want to be in the situation. And I was like, nah, I'm good. I like him. We kissed, but I didn't want to go further. I didn't want to do it. And I told him I didn't want to have sex. Great. Bravo. You did, like, it wasn't like I felt weird and I thought I wanted to do something, but I didn't want to go that far. But then we ended up because I didn't know how to tell him, you know, like, I feel like sometimes the more you unravel the secret, then there's no secret. It's like, there's confidence. There's confidence behind the secret. That's what I feel like. And so I just want her to be able to stand up for herself in any situation, whether it's great or whether it's not so great. Because there is isn't there a percentage, like if your child knows what her body parts are called, she's less likely to be molested.
Assaulted.
So to be assaulted, right? And so that's my goal, is for her to be a confident young lady who is able to go out there and be like, and then to come home and be like, Mom, can we talk? Sure, even if I'm scared. But she's saying, can we talk? Because if she's not talking to you, she's talking to somebody else who probably knows way less than you do. So for me, I feel like, come to me, come to your dad. He knows men very well. And even for him, just like in just his way, he's teaching her how to love. He's teaching her how to be treated. He's teaching her what love looks like. He's teaching her what friendship looks like, what play looks like, what all these amazing things that he's teaching her in a very inadvertent way, just by living, right? Like, I'm always looking at them together and like, I'm like, God, he's really teaching her she knows what a good guy is. You know what I mean? And so in all these ways, I feel like I just want her to be confident at the end of the day, be confident. And so that's my goal, right? And I am now, if you would have talked to me probably before I had a kid, I might have been like, nope. You know, I don't know what I would have been like, but what I do know now is I'm not afraid of conversations, age appropriate, interest appropriate. Obviously, I'm not going into some details with my daughter, but that is very important that she goes out into the world and understand her eyes are wide open.
Are you goals for your daughter?
I hope she goes beyond my goals, like me. Like if my daughter goes beyond me, I'm like, I did my job. Like I want her to be better than me. And I feel like she already has a head start because of the change that I knew I needed. Even when I got pregnant, my husband and I knew I needed therapy. I was like, she was actually in the therapy office crawling on the ground because we didn't have a babysitter at that time. And my therapist was like, come on in. She didn't understand anything. She's a baby. She was a mess, but she was a baby. And I just knew I needed help to talk. At the time, I was like, oh, I know it's you. It's not me. It's talking to my husband. Like, and I'm like, no, it's you too. It's a lot of you, me. And so, but that has made me it's made me a better person for her. That's why I did it. Because I knew, I was like, I am not going to allow you to go through the mental gymnastics I've had to go figure out on my own and because of my own family trauma that I've never dealt with or talked about or shared with another person. Or I was like, we're not gonna have secrets and we're not gonna have all these kind of like molds over conversations that are not allowed to be had. No.
For people who have come up from a religious background, coming up from a mom who didn't have the time or capacity to deal with the other side of being a human. Food, water, shelter, check.
Yes.
And they now see where you're at now. Mm. They see how you're parenting differently. They see how you're challenging norms. They see how you're allowing your kid to challenge you.
Yeah.
How do they get from there to there? What are some key resources or things that you're like, this made a huge shift for me?
You know in your heart, just like I knew in my heart, things needed to be different. Like, even if you're not fully acknowledging, why do I keep doing the same thing over and over again? why does this feeling, whether it's anger or whatever, why, if it keeps coming up, you're acknowledging something's happening and now you have to deal with it. And I think telling yourself, for me, I had to be like, there's nothing to be afraid of. And I also had to say, I don't want the same traumas for my daughter. I don't want the same secrets for my child. I want different. That's what it was. I want different for her. She has to have different. Like, I don't think there's any way that somebody can have a child and not think, I want better for you. I just think that's just human life evolution. You want better for the next generation. And so for me, that was it. I was like, I want better. I need to do better. I need to be better for me. And I'll be better for her, because we're not going to go through this same chain of reactions that has happened in the past. And then from there, you know, I think you just learn and you find out things that you've never talked about before. You get involved with other parents or other groups that you're like, hey, how do you guys go about this? Because that's what we started doing at first. We were like asking friends, like, how did you get this question asked? And they're like, oh yeah, we talked about it in a very matter-of-fact scientific way. Oh. So that took the scariness away. If you just open your, like, closed mouths don't get fed, open your mouth and ask questions, or go find people like you, go and look at what you're doing, right? Like how you're speaking, or if it's, you know, that's why I said you really should do that pamphlet, or at least talk, I don't know. I just think
some kind of web version.
Some kind of web version of it, but seek the information and then put it in your own terms, right? And then there's always ChatGPT.
I'll say the last thing I will say about the pamphlet thing, because when I finished that course, I remember going back to my parents and showing them, being like, look at these age-appropriate behaviors. And I asked them, when I was one and I started walking, did you push me down because you were afraid that there would be danger, or you thought it was too fast or too soon? Mm. Like, you looked at that as normal development. Mm. So why, when my sexual self started to develop, that was such a negative thing? And they took it so personal, as if I was doing it against them or to like hurt them, versus like, this is just normal development.
Yes.
Normal, beautiful development. Human development.
Yes. And I think that's the thing right there. Like, you always think it's your fault as a parent. You're like, it's like when you argue with your husband or something and you guys are talking about something and he brings up something, or she brings up something, whatever, whoever brings up something, you're like, it wasn't me. And it's like, no, we're not the enemy. The thing is what we're talking about. You're not my enemy. I'm not your enemy. It's just this thing that we've never dealt with, right? And you've never had to deal with. So put whatever thing that is, it's right here. But I'm not the enemy and you're not the enemy. And if you can somehow change the thinking of, like, if my daughter comes to me and says whatever she says, I can't just be like, you didn't get that from me. You know, you got it from who? It's like, nope, the thing is just the thing. And let's just talk about that. I look, again, I think our parents didn't necessarily have all the tools, right? So.
And to your point, we don't either.
We don't either.
And the other generation's going to have even more tools.
Even more tools.
Yes.
Not only the tools, but like the spaces to even talk about stuff like that. Like, I only think maybe some hippie parents maybe talk, I don't know. I didn't grow up around that. But like, I think most parents did not have that space, or at least in my circle, like, most parents just did not have that space to be like, girl, so I talked about with my mom or my grandmama this, like, no, absolutely not. I know in my world, absolutely not. So I think giving space to our parents too, to be like, hey, I get, you didn't know, you know, but now we know better. And now we want them to do better and know more and keep it going on and on and on and on.
Well, I asked you the last question so that you could get to plug in your own stuff and be like, and then other tools were life changing.
Yes,
let's do that.
Okay, cool. Sorry. See, I wasn't like thinking about me. So, and I think, you know, other tools, like, I think Adventures of Curiosity Cove, is helpful, just an emotional positivity and intelligence and understanding how to. And what I love about these stories is my daughter asks questions. It opens up pathways to have conversations with your kids. Because, after she heard the fear one, she asked us in the car, she heard the dragon, and she goes, "Mom, what are you most scared about?" That's what she asked me. And then she asked her dad. And I said, we asked her, and she's like, "Losing you guys." And to hear that from your child, I didn't know that was her biggest fear. That opens up so many conversations that we can have, right? And I think those tools are the tools, because then it'll give you pathways to open up other conversations that you want to have. But I think when you start with just the simplest conversations with story, I think story is so important. But yeah, so those are some of the tools, and I'm super excited about this book again. Parents make mistakes, and we're also allowed to apologize to our kids. It doesn't take any power away from you.
Yes.
In the dynamic.
And then you also have a movie coming out.
I do. I have a movie that I co-wrote, and Tyler Perry's directing it. We're finishing it in Italy this year. And it's about two sisters finding their way back to each other after their mom passes in order to continue to be sisters.
Yeah, to have intimacy.
Intimacy.
That's what we want.
That's what we want. Mm-hmm. That's what we want. Tools and intimacy.
Tea drop. Great. Thank you so much for
that. That was great. Yeah,
I hope you guys enjoyed that conversation with Tika half as much as I enjoyed having her. She's such a light, such a joy. And one of the things that she talked about is, Shan, please make a pamphlet or a guide for parents or people who are trying to reparent themselves so they understand what is normal sexual development. This was something that I did with the help of the Lovers by Shan community. And when I finished it, I was like, why didn't I do this sooner? It was so, so healing for me, and I really hope it will resonate and be powerful for all of you. If you go over to loversbyshan.com, navigate to the resources page at the top, and the very first resource is now going to be the Normal Sexual Development Guide from 0 to 18. And speaking of parents and reparenting, in collaboration with Crash Course and Kinsey Institute, on March the 6th, I am launching a new sex ed series with them. It's 15 incredible episodes about everything that we wish sex ed could be. It's a great week for inner child Shan, and I'm just really proud to be sharing it with all of you. And speaking of sharing, can I actually share a part of the workbook that's very personal and very powerful to me, and hopefully it might resonate with all of you. Can I share something? As long as I can remember, I was fascinated by the human body and the idea of intimate connections. By 3, I was asking all the questions and intrigued by nudity. By 5, I was playing house and fantasizing about life with my intense crush, Devin. Around 6 or 7, I was banned from playing with naked Barbies and had gotten in a lot of trouble because myself and my friend played a game where we flashed our stuffed animals. Somewhere in between then, I learned about the word lewd and how important it was that I stopped being that. Now that you know this about me, I want for you to review the cheat sheet I provided on the page before and then reflect. Do you notice anything abnormal about my sexual history? Because I sure don't. However, I myself didn't realize how normal all of this was until I was 30 and presented with an age-by-age normative scale during my training to become a sexologist. After completing the class, I approached my parents to ask the question that had been heavy on my heart. When I started to walk, did you get angry? They looked at me confused, so I pressed on. Of course you did it. So why did you take my sexual development so personally? Why did you act like it was something I was doing to you, rather than something naturally happening to me? My point is, in every other area of children's development, parents are eager for kids to progress at the same pace as their peers. Yet when it comes to sexual development, suppression and stagnation become the goal. My hope is that with more information about what truly is normal, we can change that. So yes, the guide goes on, and I'm so happy you guys can go and now access it for free. You're gonna find in it an age-by-age summary of what is normal sexual behavior, and at the bottom of each of those descriptions, somebody from the Lovers by Shan community generously and anonymously shared their experience, either as a parent or as a young person at that given age. And I found a lot of healing, a lot of illumination through this, and I hope that you can say the same. Also, please go and check out my Crash Course series if you have a couple extra minutes. And hopefully I'll see you guys back here next week. Same bat time, same bat channel over here on the Lovers Podcast.